Archbishop Etchen, Archbishop Sarton, sisters and brothers all. What's up? Tell me what's going on. That was the regular greeting I received when I visited Archbishop Brunette these recent years. Here is a man now paralyzed on one side of his body, somewhat sluggish in speech. He'd already lived in this very debilitating condition for some years, but whenever I visited him, there was a certain kind of spunk in his attitude and approach to life. Even after an hour, when I could see that he was tiring, he wanted to continue. Don't go, don't go. That attitude and spirit in his heart that was deeply ingrained and alive. He would attend religious events in the Archdiocese, as you well know, when he could. When the bishops of Region 12 made our retreats in January at the Palisades Retreat Center, named after him, he would come one of the evenings for a chat and dinner. I think all of us were amazed that he lived for almost 7 years after that summer afternoon stroke in Bellevue. As we listen to the scriptures this evening, and as we reflect upon this moment of great transition in the Archbishop's life, certain inspirational qualities stand out that defined him as a human being and a man of the church. His growing up in Detroit in a large family, and some of you are here this evening, thank you. His years as a priest involved in seminary work, his service as pastor of the Shrine of the Little Flower in Royal Oak, his trailblazing ecumenical work, his appointments as Bishop of Helena, Archbishop of Seattle, and in his early years of retirement, Apostolic Administrator of the Diocese of Oakland. All of these reflect a rich familial and ecclesiastical background. That spunk I spoke of a moment ago can at least in part be described as a strong determination of spirit as he approached life and his priesthood. If there is ever one thing you could never accuse him of, it would be that of being a wilted lily. To the contrary. Our reflection this evening leads us to a man of faith and openness to the Holy Spirit. Personally, I have a difficult time in imagining what went on his mind after the debilitating stroke. But to be sure, with all of that, was a man of faith, deep faith. There is life after paralysis and severe limitation of the human body. The cross came to him in a unique manner. It was daily, and he hung in with the Lord all the way. The readings this evening from Job and St. Paul to the Corinthians were very much a part of his spirituality. He was one of the early leaders in ecumenism in this country. His relationships on the ecumenical level and probing of what was possible in relationships and theology were evident in the Seattle document. That desire for discovery was also present in seeing our world with its beauty and complexity. When he first became Archbishop of Seattle, he wanted to take a tour of the Diocese of Spokane, seeing new places and meeting new people. So after Mass in Spokane, we headed north up the Colville Valley, over Sherman Pass to Republic and the Okanagan Valley, then over the loop to the Mehow Valley where I grew up and where we had lunch. The final part of the trip was to visit Dry Falls, Cooley Dam, and back to Spokane for dinner, several hundred miles in all. He was kind of tired. It was a long day, lots of miles. We saw lots of things. And I thought he and Bishop Thomas, who was with us, would stay overnight. But oh no, how long was it to Seattle? But knowing it was only a four-hour drive from Spokane, he decided to drive back to Seattle that evening. That determination thing again. Unbeknownst to us that evening was a large concert at the Gorge near George on I-90. So the 4 hours went way into the morning of arriving back here in Seattle. He delighted in recounting that story and in the trip, seeing new things, meeting new people. We had planned another trip to the Tri-Cities in Walla Walla to visit the wine country. Sorry, Alex, we never made it. The church in her broadest sense meant everything to the Archbishop. This was his life, as we well know. My opening comments reflect that engagement that never dimmed in the later years of retirement and debility. That deep interest and involvement were not a pie-in-the-sky vision of the present reality of church. He appreciated very much the divine, but he was also very aware of the human and the frailty, the brokenness. He acknowledged reality. He also had a vision of what could be, and that vision drove him. Always the hope of what could be, of course, with the Lord's guidance and help. His deep appreciation of priesthood and the service to God's people were part of his spiritual DNA. He loved priestly ministry. He loved pastoral work, even at times when pastoral work involved a lot of administration. His dedication to Eucharist, especially evident in these later years, was one of the things that drove him. Certainly the Lord for him in Eucharist was real, but he must have also been deeply inspired to accept the limitations of his stroke as part of the suffering and sacrifice asked of him in the spirit of Jesus on the cross. Cardinal Martini, the former Archbishop of Milan and highly respected scripture scholar, once made the comment that being with Jesus on the cross is like looking out from an observatory. I think those are the kinds of eyes we see in the Archbishop. That should be a reminder to all of us as we too live our limitations and to be with Jesus on the cross as we look out at life. The appreciation of Eucharist brings to mind a picture I treasure some years ago of the 13 bishops of Region 12 who were hosted one summer by Archbishop Schweitz of Anchorage. He planned a trip for us on the Alaska Railroad in a club car from Anchorage to Seward and back, a day's trip, long day's trip. On the way over to Seward, as we rolled through beautiful Alaska countryside, the bishops celebrated Mass around a table in this club car, and the car, by the way, consisting mostly of windows. Archbishop Brunette was the presider, and in the picture, Archbishop Schweitz was the lector. That picture I have at home came to mind as I read this passage this evening from the Gospel. The disciples on the road to Emmaus. They're not immediately recognizing the stranger, but doing so in the breaking of the bread. There we were in this spectacularly beautiful setting of God's creation, moving along the tracks with bishops from all over the Northwest with their experience of varying communities of faith, ministries, and challenges. Archbishop Brunette broke open the scriptures for us. In a sense, it was almost like the Emmaus picture in a time live and real. In moments like that train ride, or when we gathered, we shared about our diocese and how the gospel in many and varied ways plays out in our ministry amongst the people we serve. In these later years, we think of Archbishop Brunette celebrating Eucharist, hearing the word, recognizing, knowing Jesus in the breaking of the bread. As the story from Luke, the disciples were in a pile of hurt with dashed expectations, but hearing the word broken open for them in context of their own experience and coming to know him, they were strengthened, energized, and were on fire as they returned to Jerusalem, sharing the great news. So now we know this Emmaus journey of the Archbishop in his last years amongst us. The words of Job this evening, "From my flesh I shall see God, my inmost being is consumed with longing," are certainly meaningful at this moment. As we listen to St. Paul in his second letter to the Corinthians, "Although our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day." Paul reminds us that we should not be discouraged. That's a tough order for 7 years, but a powerful reminder of what comes next. So we come to ourselves. We come to our own journeys of faith. The journey of the two disciples along the road to Emmaus is also our continuing story and experience. The church, with our own ministries and lives of faith, continue to break open the Word of God for us. The process is real. Like the words from the book of Hebrews, the Word of God is alive and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates and divides soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and reflections of the heart. Through faith, we too recognize and know Jesus in the bread of life. Our blessing is to stand on the experience of two disciples on the road and on so many of those who have gone before us, including and especially those whom we have known in our lifetime. In the complexity of our world and competing values and temptations, we need to see clearly and make decisions appropriately. The kingdom of God is not out there somewhere, but as Jesus says, it is already within us. The appreciation of that present excites us and energizes us, but also it is and must be a great source of strength when we encounter the tough patches of our lives. Here this evening, in the Mother Church of the Archdiocese, we liturgically welcome the body of a brother in Christ who, in his service and ministry over the years, helped to break open the scriptures for us and recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread. As St. Paul tells the people of Corinth, they are a letter to him, known and read by all. So Archbishop Burnett has been for us, and so we are to one another. Alex, dear brother, may you now rest in peace.